I've got the privilege of bringing God's word this morning. Before we do, let's just pray. Father, thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to come together today and to be able to worship in the freedom of this country. But Father, help us to see that freedom is one thing and purpose is another. And that, Father, each one of us has a purpose. We have a plan for our lives, a plan not written by ourselves, but written by you. We pray to you, God, that, Lord, you'll give us open eyes and open ears and, most of all, an open heart this morning, that we might be able to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. The children of Israel had been in Egypt for 430 years. Originally, they'd gone to Egypt by the preservation of God and through the safe haven that Joseph provided during a famine in Canaan. Now, you can read about this in the last 10 chapters of Genesis. But of course, you can never get too much of a good thing. Or can you? All it takes is for us to become complacent and stagnant, and soon enough, we become the prisoners of our supposed salvation. The children of Israel were well and truly stuck. The land God had promised them had become inhabited by Philistines and Canaanites, and they over time had become prisoners in another country. Prisoners where they were stuck. They had no vision, no hope, no opportunity. The Egyptians, however, saw them as a threat because there were so many of them, and they began to persecute them. So the children of Israel had gone from being a respected people to being reviled. And now you can read about this in the first few chapters of Exodus. However, this morning I don't want to spend a session talking about history, but I want us to use them as an example of how we can sometimes become so deflated and stuck, and that sometimes there is no apparent answer or solution to our problem. We were in the drive-through of life. We're taking our order, making our order. And a person on the other side echoes through the speaker in the drive-through, "Would you like purpose with that?" We think to ourselves, "Well, I've had purpose before and it's probably a bit too spicy for me." Another person says, "Yeah, I've had purpose before. It was great. But it makes you think too much. Maybe I'll give it a miss. Because after all you really need is life, isn't it? All you really need is the freedom that God gives us from our sin, and everything else is okay." Now let me just say, and I've said this before many times, that if all we were to get from Christianity was eternal life, that would be enough. But that's not God's purpose. Yes, life is purpose. His life that he gives us, his eternal life is purpose. But that's not the only purpose that God has. My wife has given me instructions not to leave the pulpit. She reckons when I go wandering, I start creating my own stuff and then I come back and have to fit that into the time frame. If life was all we needed, then why did God put Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden? Can I ask you a question? Why did God put Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden? Well, if you read the last few verses of chapter 3, it's because so that they couldn't eat of the tree of life. See, life is not all we need. The children of Israel had been prisoners in Egypt, and they thought that all they needed was deliverance, and then more deliverance. How did that work out for the children of Israel? What happened to them? They were given freedom. But they didn't follow the purpose of God. They followed their own instinct. And we're left to our own instinct. What happens? You might say, oh, I have really good instinct. That's good. But generally when we're left to our own purposes, our own instinct, there's the chance of us making the wrong decision. What happened to them? They were given this freedom and their instinct worked for them. What did their instinct say when the army of Egypt was chasing after them? What did their instinct say when they were stuck at the edge of the Red Sea and they saw the Egyptians approaching? What did their instinct say when they ventured out into the wilderness and couldn't find any water? What did their instinct say when they couldn't find anything to eat? What did their instinct say when what they did get to eat from God wasn't enough? You know, their instinct didn't serve them well, and just being delivered wasn't enough. They needed more. Not more manna, not more pheasant, not more water, because they had that and God was going to take care of them. And if we think the purpose of our life is just to survive until we die, you're sadly missing the whole point of our lives. If I can just survive, and I know that sometimes life is just about surviving. I know that sometimes if we just get to the end of the day, sometimes if we can just get to the end of the week, you're stuck in a job that you hate. You think, I'll just stick it out for another 10 years and then I'll be able to retire. And I don't know what I'll do then, but I won't have to go to work anymore. Some of us feel stuck in relationships. Some of us feel stuck in just in the purposelessness of how we see ourselves. Purposelessness says, well, what for? Who cares? Your fault. Me first. I want it now. We forget about the wisdom that Joseph brought. Joseph told his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God, he meant it for good. I see the bigger picture. Paul said in Romans 8, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We live in a world full of people who are looking for purpose. But unfortunately, sometimes we want the purpose built around us, not us around the purpose. The purpose that we were created for. In this passage that we looked at today, in Colossians 3, it says to set your mind on things above and not on the things of this earth. Not on the things of this earth. The term earth is just a metaphor for the world or the flesh. A person without purpose is driven by the here and the now, and that's what the earth is. Although the literal meaning of earth, it just means dirt. There's nothing mystical about it. No hidden meaning there. But when you think about, oh, you know, all this stuff comes from the dirt, doesn't it? You know, although that literal meaning of out of the dirt has a real ring to it. There's a quote from Psychology Today, although it's from 2013, so it was only today about 5 years ago, so I don't know how relevant it is. It says, human beings crave purpose and suffer serious psychological difficulties when we don't have it. Purpose is a fundamental component of a fulfilling life. And when we don't have a sense of purpose in our lives, it makes us more vulnerable to boredom, anxiety, and depression. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Then it goes on about us not belonging to the family of God, and now we do belong, even though we don't deserve to belong. And when we didn't belong, we had no hope, and that we were without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We have purpose. It would be fair to say that purpose brings hope, it brings identity, it brings motivation, it brings satisfaction and fulfillment. It even brings happiness. And I think it would also be fair to say that these things are fairly important in people's lives. I think it would also be fair to say that they're sadly lacking in the world today. We all today come from differing backgrounds. Each one of us has a unique story. We often listen to the stories that people share from behind the pulpit, or we hear on the radio, and they challenge us or inspire us. But everybody has a story. And part of your story is your purpose. But today among us, I'm going to hazard a guess that some of us are tired. Maybe all of us over the age of 30. And for those who are under 30 and have children, they're included in that as well. Some of us are hurt or hurting. Some of us are tired and hurt. Some of us might be angry. Some of us have been angry so long, we've ultimately given into it, and now we languish in bitterness. Can I just say this morning, you're in the right place, not languishing in bitterness. You're in the right place today. Because our purpose today is come and learn more of Christ. Learn more of the one who hung between heaven and earth because he loved us so much that he gave his life for us. For the one that had plenty of time for those who were the outcasts of society, who had plenty of time for those who had problems. In fact, he was the answer to those problems. He had plenty of time for people who were chewed up, beat up, without hope and languishing. He said to them, come unto me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And with that rest, I'll give you purpose. There'll be a reason, and there is a reason. There is nobody in this room today that doesn't have reason for their life. You have a reason for your existence. You may not be aware. We may not be aware of it. And there have been plenty of days when I have literally said to God, why on earth is this happening? And God's answer is, because up in heaven it's different. Doug finished his sermon last week with Romans 12, 1 and 2, where Paul says, I beg you, brethren, I beg you, my sisters and brothers in the Lord, by the mercies of God, that you come and bring your bodies and present them as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And this is your reasonable service. There's a purpose in your life. Just bring your life to me first. There's a purpose that God has for your life, for my life. Bring it to God. Sometimes we feel like our purpose is more important than God's purpose. That's okay. God is patient with you. He'll let you knock your head against the wall a few times. But he'll always be there to wipe away those self-inflicted wounds. God has a purpose for your life. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. He has a plan for your life. God has a written plan and he has an unwritten plan. Better off we start with the written part first. The written part where the Bible says, love one another. The written part where it says, forgive one another. The written part where it says, be angry and sin not. The written part where it says, don't let anything bad about somebody else come out of your mouth. That written part that says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things that you think are most important for your life, they'll be added to your life. Purpose. When you take God out of the picture, there is no purpose. We left in a world where the world is looking today, well, we don't believe in God, rub him out. What have we got left? Oh, let's go with evolution. Let's go with fate. Let's go with whatever your imagination will allow you to go with. But you've taken the foundation out of life altogether. So it has no purpose. If you're here today without God, I don't understand how you can live without that purpose. This message wasn't prepared with any personal overtones, but please feel free to take it personally. Purposelessness can be challenged, but it will never change without taking the first step, the second, and the third toward purpose, toward hope, toward a Saviour who brings satisfaction. Where are we today? Where are we today? Do we know that purpose that God has for our lives? Let's pray. Father, I pray to you, God, that, Lord, you'll just open our hearts to your purpose. Help us to stop living lives that are so busy and yet purposeless. I pray, dear God, that, Father, each one of us will know your plan for our lives and help us to stop fighting against your plan for our lives. Help us to think that our purpose is more important, or what we think is more important for our lives than what you think is more important for our lives. Help us to stop battling and fighting against you. Let us lay aside the anger and the tiredness and the hurt and the pain. Let us focus on a Saviour who loves us and cares for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week, we'll be talking about purpose. And so I encourage you to be back again. Thank you.